الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين وعلى عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. A person in this dunya, and Allah Ta'ala has made the system that for us to do good, there's always a da'iyah, an invitation. The adhan is there to call us. We see naked people, thoughts come to do good. And at the same time, فَالْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And also, the desire to do wrong, shaitan is there all the time. And he puts temptations in our hearts all the time, that we should be doing wrong. So this is a test for mankind. Both of those things will be there all the time, and it is for us that we stay away from the wrong, from the haram. And Allah has given everyone that capacity. Everyone can stay away from the wrong and do the right. And everyone, according to his level, he will be tested. People of higher level will be tested according to that. People of lower level will be tested according to that. A grade 1 student is not tested with a matric exam paper. And a matric exam student is not tested with a grade 1 exam. Both, everything, everyone according to that level. So anyway, so here in this world we find all these temptations which come to a person are also of two types. One is the outward, that we do with our hands, our eyes, our legs, etc., with the parts of the body. And the other is with the heart. And most of us, very few exceptions, most of us, we live a life that we are involved in guna. Like when we grew up, school, etc., then we went to high school, we got involved in some gunas perhaps or something. Lot of sports, love of sports too much. Some of us even music or some other things also, wrong things. So those were all outward gunas. Many, alhamdulillah, get the tawfiq then either by the time they get married, after marriage, they start changing their lives. There was no namaz in their lives, now namaz comes in their lives. All those wrong things were there, they start going out. Now a person has become naked. One deception befalls many, many of us when outwardly now we have become like righteous and pious. Our clothes are according to Sharia now. Our namazas are in order now, tilawat, etc. Though many of us are still lacking even in those things. But if those things, little bit of that comes in order, then we feel now that I'm all right. Or a person becomes a hafiz of Quran. Many times a hafiz feels, I'm a hafiz, now I'm all right. People will tell him also, you hafiz Quran, you got no worries. And a person becomes an alim, then what to say? That I'm an alim. And the people will also say, you're a maulana, you got no worries. Your akhirat is made. But that is all the zahir, which Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ. Stay away, abstain from outward gunas. All the gunas which are outward gunas. And these are such gunas, everyone recognizes them as guna. Even non-Muslims. Like for example, drinking alcohol. Nobody says it's a good habit. So unfortunately, there are those non-Muslims who feel that a little bit alcohol is nothing. And that is like in of good society. That you have some alcohol, na'udhu billah. Or cigarettes, for example. All those things, everyone knows it is wrong. Especially Muslims, all. Even those who smoke, the smoker himself also, he also say it's wrong. It's a bad habit. So all those outward gunas, Allah says, give them up. Whether they are to do with our tongue, and how many gunas there are with the tongue. And very, very amazing, the Quran Sharif, the three ayats that are recited at the time of nikah, all three ayats emphasize on taqwa. One is, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people all at large. And the other two, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah. And then Allah Ta'ala says in the one place, haqqa tuqati. How much you should fear Allah so much. In the other place, Allah says, waqulu qawlan salida. And learn to say the right word, the use of the tongue. That is a thing also that we have to learn to use the tongue correctly. Many of us, we don't learn and we don't teach the correct usage. There are, mashallah, people who do encourage and that. But lot of us, we encourage and teach the wrong usage of the tongue. Like, for example, a jamaat, tabligh jamaat comes to the house for ghusl, and they knock on the door, and a small child comes, call your father, call Abba, daddy. He goes inside, he comes back and he say, my father say he's not yet home. The child is an innocent little child, so he just says what his father told him. His father expected him to say he's not at home, but he says, my father says that he's not at home. So, in any case, the father has taught the child to speak a lie. We have to teach the child to speak the truth. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, a Muslim and stealing can go together. A Muslim and zina, adultery can go together. But a Muslim and lying can't go together. And today, how many of us lying? How many mothers will teach their children to lie? You mustn't tell this to Abba. You must tell Abba this was like this, this was like that. Many things like that. And so we teach the wrong things. Whereas all our outward parts and organs of the body, our own also, we should stay away from all types of guna. The tongue is such a thing that it comes in the Hadith Sharif that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, jismuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The body of it, the size of it is small. 3-4 centimeters the tongue, small little tongue, but the sun of it is very, very big. And the opposite is also true. Jismuhu saghir wa ajruhu kabir. That it is very small, but the reward of it is very, very big. Which ulama explained that, for example, a couple having an argument, the thing comes now almost towards divorce, or two people are fighting, almost they come to blows with one another, and you go and you say one word, and you kill the fire, and you make peace between them. That one word of yours takes you to the heights of Jannat, which you cannot imagine. And on the other hand, two people were fighting, husband, wife, having argument. You went, and now they started making up again. And you went and lit the fire again. You went and say something that caused them to fight further. That one word of yours takes you to the depths of Jahannam. So the tongue, though it is very small, but it is very, very strong. Like that, the eyes, what we see with the eyes, that is also very important. All the things which Allah Ta'ala in His great kindness, intensive care Allah made in the month of Ramadan, that work on these things, keep roza of all these things. So, wadaru zahir al-ithm. All outward guna, we should try and stay away. Very, very fortunate will be a person who will sit down whenever he gets some time, half an hour, 1 hour, and write down all my outward gunas. And don't show that to anyone. Just between you and Allah. So that you can be sincere. And you think of it seriously. Don't be involved in khushfahmi, that is, in having good thoughts about yourself. One of the worst things a person can get involved in is khushfahmi, that I'm good. I got no faults in me. And in fact, the person who feels I got no faults, he's got the biggest faults. And many of us, we feel, tell others. We have to tell other people. Islahi Jalsa come, it's not for us, we must tell other people. Other people must listen. We'll give da'wat also. Allah give us all tawfiq to invite people. And when they come, then first the first recipient must be we ourselves. And in us ourselves, the speakers who are here, the organizers, we are all in need of it. It's not that we are, for example, in Hirasa, in security, and we are all right. We are now looking after the things of the people, the cars of the people. No, I myself am in need. I'm in a cooking department. I might not be able to attend all the programs. I'm busy in khidmat there. But I must realize I am in need. Every person, and the speaker himself, whoever it can be, he also has to realize I myself am in need. So if we write down and see which gunas I'm involved in, and if a person is sincere, then in fact it comes in the hadith that fortunate is that person whom Allah Ta'ala favors and opens upon him his gunas. Normally our attitude is we see the gunas of all other people. We don't see our own gunas. Other people see our gunas, our weaknesses. They don't see their own. And this is just like, for example, your nose, which is right below your eyes. The first thing which is immediately under your eyes 24 hours, even if you fast asleep, is your nose. But you can't see your nose. No matter how much you focus your eyes, no matter what you do, you can't see your nose. You need a mirror. Or you need a friend or your wife or somebody who will be able to tell you if there's something in your nose. On your own, you can't see. So like that, our own faults, normally we cannot see. You need somebody. Therefore, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Al-Muslim Mir'atul Muslim. A Muslim is a mirror of a Muslim. That you want, there are different explanations. One is when you see other Muslims making namaz, etc., me, I just go away quickly. After faraz, I just make my some sunnah and that, and I'm gone. But see, mashallah, how many other people. So take a lesson from there. The other is that person is a mirror. In him you see your own condition. How in the mirror you see whether my nose is clean or not, whether there's something stuck in my beard or not. Like that, perhaps you can't see it. But in a mirror you can see. So a Muslim Allah Ta'ala has made, he will be able to tell us that what our condition is. So anyway, try. And when a person is sincere, Allah will open upon him all his weaknesses. And then make a list of that. And then start working to eradicate, remove, eliminate all those weaknesses. Whatever weaknesses it is, that I speak a lot of lies, or I speak too much, all the time I'm blabbering. I don't make zikr of Allah, whatever my outward weaknesses are. So then a person comes somewhat right. He corrects his life, he comes right. But then there are other wabatina, and the inward gunas also. When a person gives up the outward gunas, now mashallah, he's got a khanka tupi, he's got a amama, two kurta, namazes are in order, inshallah, perhaps Ishraq, Tahajjud, other namazes also. Now he feels I'm all right. But very, very important then, wabatina. Look at the inside gunas. Shaitan, our arch enemy. Nafs, our arch enemy. They will attack us first with the outward gunas. They take us to soccer stadiums, sports stadiums, take us to gambling places, take us to other wrong places, etc. Now we make tawbah of all this. Now no more. Now we feel we are right. That's another attack of shaitan. And now the gunas now of the heart. Now pride comes in us. I'm all right. There are two types of pride. One is takabbur, which means to think that I'm better than other people. You look down upon others, and you think I'm better than them. And this, a person normally doesn't say it with his tongue. And according to his thinking also, he don't think I'm better. But it is inside him. I'm better than other people. I make five times namaz. They don't even make namaz. For example, Jamaat comes to our door. We tell them, we make our namaz, but there's this neighbors of ours. Or these people opposite here, go to them, explain to them. That is a clear sign that you're thinking you are better than those people. Whether our namazes are accepted or not, only Allah knows. So that is one guna, the inside guna now. To think pride, to think I'm better than other people. And this is very common. And the more a person becomes pious, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali should say to the graduating students who have completed Bukhari Sharif, and that was in his time, when he was one ustad, other great ustad, he should tell them, now that you have completed your Bukhari, your Dora, you are now qualified. Now go to some sheikh for at least 6 months to remove that pride that has come with it. With this knowledge, pride also comes. I'm a Maulana now. Other people, they don't know. I know. And if you are a very good student, how I read Ibaras, that is the Arabic without the Zabar Zair, Arabs, and I read it correctly, others can't read it like that. How I can make tarqib, analyze sentences, others don't know about that. So you have moved up, but now that pride has come into you. And a person doesn't, many times, he's not even conscious of it. A person became a qari, for example, reading very beautiful Quran, all praising him, that goes to his head, that he reads Quran Sharif very beautiful. And it might be you are reading beautiful, but it's not to go to the head. And for that one great dua, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي بِنَعْمَتِهِ تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Only by the further na'mat of Allah did I achieve it. It's not mine. And Allah can take it away any moment. And Allah can give it to anyone who you look down upon. Allah can give it to that person. So we have to be very careful. So there's insight. So one is pride. And one is ujub. They are two different things, two different gunas. And both are equally haram. Pride is to think low of somebody, to think I'm better than that person. And ujub is you don't look down upon anyone, but only you feel I'm good. The minute a person feels I'm all right, I'm good, therefore it's faraz on a person all the time to think that I'm the worst in the creation of Allah. The minute a person thinks I'm all right, one is he'll stagnate, and the other is he'll be in the guna of thinking that I'm all right. And nobody can be all right. We all have to improve ourselves. So both those types of gunas are very common for those people who outwardly have become now pious, righteous. And it's necessary that we discuss this so that we can become conscious of it and we can remove this from us. And if you remove pride and you remove ujub, then you are the opposite of it, humility. And when a person is humble, he's got everything. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. A person who humbles himself for Allah's sake. And all this is humble yourself, not that the people say he's a very humble person. Not that you feel I'm very humble, but for Allah's sake. Allah is the only one who is the greatest. Allah is the only one who can never come down, who can never fall down, who can never have weaknesses in him. All of us, any weakness will come any time into us. So, for Allah's sake. So that person, رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah raises. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ, and a person who has pride in that person, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah drops that person down. Allah protects us. And when a person is sincere, then nobody can drop that person. Allah protects that person. So that pride we have to be careful of, which comes in a person. Ujub we have to be careful of. The other is a very common guna that comes, is name and fame. To do things that people must praise me. For example, very common, a person makes a bayan and he goes and asks, how was my bayan? So he wants praises. He wants people to tell him, very good bayan. Or you do it in a sophisticated way. Any mistakes in my bayan? You don't want to hear about mistakes in the bayan. You want to say, mashallah, what mistakes? No mistake. What a good bayan you made. Of course, there are those people who are genuine who ask, they want to improve themselves and they ask with sincerity. But mostly it is that we get caught up with this. So that guna of name and fame. And a person who is not making namaz, for example, a person who is doing all types of guna, he doesn't fall in this gunas, the gunas of name and fame. He never thinks I'm a pious person. He thinks I'm a bad person. I'm the worst person. Now what gunas I'm committing? How bad am I not? He thinks like that. And that gives him a plus in the court of Allah Ta'ala. That the minute you think I'm low, I'm useless, that gives you a great plus, and you are high by Allah Ta'ala. And when you think I'm somebody, and you are proud, then it's a big minus for you. And even our relationship, whether it be with friends, whether it be in the family, if there is pride, you'll never be able to have peace in that house. Whether both sides, or even one side has got humility, you will find peace in that house. And if both the parties got humility, 100% peace in that house. And harmony and happiness in there. That each one feels, I am wrong. I didn't fulfill your rights. And when there's pride, you didn't fulfill my rights. You don't fulfill my rights. There can be no peace in there. So this inward was aru zahir al ismi wa batina. And the inside gunas also, stay away from them also. And this islah, what we talk about all the time, this is the islah. First will be the outside normally. Some people may be working opposite. First day, the inside gets done. Then the outward just falls in place. And some normally a person does the outward, but then he becomes unmindful of the inward. The minute the outward is done, now he looks like a farishta. Now he looks like very pious also. And together with the outward looks, if he got namazas also in him, and in his namazas he's got humility, humbleness also, outward humility, humble, and then all will say, oh, what namaz he made. And that will deceive us and land us more into problems. So these gunas we have to be very, very careful of. Another type of inside gunas, which are, a person is born with them, or it is in him. They just come in him. One is greed, and one is stinginess. A person is by nature, he wants more all the time. Whatever he's got and how much he's got, he wants more. Whereas Hazrat Maharaj Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and Maharaj Thanvi was that great alim who worked and the true essence of the tasawwuf, that it wasn't just making zikr or just becoming bayat or just keeping a beard, but that the whole of deen must come into a person. That Maulana emphasized on. And he rectified the khankas of the time also. That khankas where there are only zikr being made, a person just reading lots of wazifas and he thinks I'm pious because of that. A person, just because his outward came right, he thinks I'm pious. So, Manana, Allah reward him. The reality of the tasawwuf he had explained. So, Manana says, the ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. One aspect, that I've created man and jinn only for my ibadat. That is, we are here in this world for the ibadat of Allah. In there, Manana explains, that when a person is earning enough, which is sufficient for him to go and earn more is not right. Because his time was supposed to be for ibadah. Only so much time he should give to earning how much he requires. And when he's got enough, he mustn't go and earn more. He must spend that time in the ibadah of Allah. And in the ibadah of Allah, the first thing is our islah. And that, then we can carry on. So your outward things you correct. You go in Jamaat, you go in the Khanka, you become an Alim, Hafiz. How many students? One time in Hardoi, when Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was, some South African students had gone to study. Then Mawlana was having a little discussion with some people. And he told, go and call those students that have come. That person went to that room, he came back, he said, there are no students there. He says, no, they are, I know they came, they are there in the room. Go and call them. He said, no, there are only some youngsters with T-shirts and jeans. Say, they are the students. They came like that. There were those students of South Africa who went and studied in India, and when they went, they didn't know shirt and trouser, suit, tie. But when they came back after studies, kurta. The changes all came. So the beginning may be like that, but then eventually, but then most of us unfortunately stop on the outside. Even if you become an alim, or even you become bad to a sheikh, you get khilafat also, and your outside is made now, you think I'm made now. But the inside we don't pay attention to. So the stinginess, that is the thing also. A mu'min by nature should be one who spends. And yadul ulya khayru min al yadi sufla. The higher hand, the giving hand, is better than the receiving hand. But normally we like to receive. To give is not easy. One Maulana gave a bayan and emphasized on sadaqah, giving charity. When he went home, he found a big pot on the stove. So he asked his wife, what is this? He said, you made bayan, you must give charity. So I'm cooking, we'll feed the poor. He said, no, that bayan is for the other people, that they must give us, not that we must give them. And that's all the people were encouraging them to give us. So this is that a person himself, that he gives also. And this miserliness, وَأُخْذِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسَ الشُّحْ, that the nafus have been made such that this greed and stinginess is part of their very nature. It is inside them. And to take it out is a job. That is why zikr is there. Well, that is Islam. Read our at least minimum 100 times La ilaha illallah with the niyat of Islam. A very simple way. A person who reads 100 times La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the minute he says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah says Aslama abdi wastaslama. My banda has surrendered himself. And he is fully surrendered. In other words, his islah is made. So these are things by which Allah directly makes the islah of a person. A person who reads Subhanallah. And Subhanallah means, Usabbihu Allah anin naqaisi kulliha. That I, Usabbihu Allah, I declare, I claim that Allah is free of all types of fault. In response, it comes in the hadith, Allah Ta'ala announces and says, my banda, you say I'm free of faults, weaknesses, I am free. Even if you don't say it, no Nabi Mursal says it, no Farishta Malak says it, I am free. But by you saying it, I will purify you of sins now. And there were so many mashayikh who made the islah of their murids only with the wazifa of Subhanallah. He prescribed it 100 times, 300 times, and just read that every day. And by that, all this outward gunas also went out, inward gunas also went out. Ghaflat is another guna, to be unmindful. That we are not busy in the zikr of Allah. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, which was just now also mentioned, that in Jannat also, a person will have that sorrow of those moments, that time in which he did not make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. A group of people were walking and they got lost in their journey, and they were in a jungle, and they came across a place in the jungle where they saw beautiful shining stones. It came to them that these are valuable diamonds. So four or five of them, one thought, let me pick up 5, 10 stones. Another one 30, 40, another one 80, 100. Another one said, we are lost. We got all our bedding and we got our baggage with us. On top of it, must carry stones. I'm not taking any stones. They walked, carried on. They came out in the village in the morning. And they explained to the people, this is what happened. We got lost. We came across this place. Those people, those are the most valuable diamonds in the world. But the jungle is the most dangerous place. We who live here, we don't dare ever go near. Usually, the ignorant, they are bold, they go to where the people who know are frightened to go. But those who don't know, they go. So anyway, so they told them, and they're the most valuable. Now that they realize they're so valuable, those who picked up 15, 20 diamonds, will they be sad or happy? They could have picked up more. Those who picked up 100, they'll also be sad. I could have picked up 1,000. I could leave my bidding there. I could pick up diamonds and come with diamonds. Diamonds are so valuable. And those that didn't pick up? So this is this dunya through life. Yeah, it is the amal, our islah, our amal that are the real diamonds. But we are too busy with the baggage of dunya. My shop, my house, my car, all those things. We haven't got time to pick up of this yet. And those who do pick up, and tomorrow that the village which we come out in will be Maidan-e-Hashr by Allah Ta'ala. And there we will realize the value of one Subhanallah. The value of one La Hawla wa La Quwwata. When I had the time just sitting doing nothing, I could read one tasbih of La Hawla wa La Quwwata illa billah. I could read one tasbih of La Ilaha Illallah. The greatest zikr, La Ilaha, Afzal zikr. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah tabaraka ta'ala to give him a special zikr. Allah said, oh Musa, read La ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, everyone read La ilaha illallah. I want something special. Allah said, oh Musa, La ilaha illallah, if you put it fi kaffi wahid, one of the scale, pans of the scale, and the other side you put the dunya wa ma fiha besides me. Everything else you put besides Allah, La ilaha illallah will outweigh it. La ilaha illallah is so powerful that you just say it and it goes and nothing can block it. The whole seven heavens and earth can become like steel, like what is that? Israel got that dome, what dome? No bomb can't go through. Iron dome. You can, La ilaha illallah penetrates everything and it goes. So powerful. And how much time we have that we could say 5 times, 500 times, La ilaha illallah. So anyway, and this is at the same time, it's the greatest storage for akhirah. Man qala sab'ina alfa marra, La ilaha illallah, ghufira liman qal wa liman qil. Who says it is also forgiven. For whom it is said is also forgiven, who says it 70,000 times. If we read it 100 times a day, every 2 years we can have one quota of 70,000. And if we read it 200 times a day, every year we can have a quota. And to read it 100 times is a minute, or just over a minute, you can read it. So by that, all our insight. Gunas also. So Allah Ta'ala commands us, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَعْتِنَا. Stay away from all outward gunas also, and the inward gunas also. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person who comes with outward gunas, like no namaz in his life, womanizer, gambler, he will say, I'm a writer. My gunas are so much. And the person who came with namazas, who came with an Islamic outfit, dressed like a Muslim, beard, everything, and he feels, I achieved something, who stands a better chance for forgiveness? The person who is looking for Allah's rahmat, or the person who feels, I'm all right? So the inward gunas are more serious, and we get involved in that. So as Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq and we move up the ladder, don't become unmindful of the other ammunition and the other gunas that shaitan gets us involved in. Don't think that I am now a sheikh, I am a maulana now, I am a qari now. Worry about that. And that is what is called islah. That we worry about our, and this we have to worry till mort. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Until mort comes to a person must be worried. Outside we correct it, and usually the outside has reaches a limit. Then more you cannot. But the inside, there is no limit to it. More the tawazu, humility, There is no limit to the amount of humility a person can get. And the outward, there is no limit also to how the inward, to how, what heights we can reach, and what how much ikhlas we can bring within ourselves. Like that, these are not only in the kitab, Islahi Akhlaq. All, most of them are written, almost all are written there. We should just at least go through that list there. In there, the outward gunas are also written. Majority of the inward gunas. And the outward also, think about it. Try and make a sheet and see how much am I involved in. In that way, we'll be making our Islah. And everything, keep in mind, every namaz I make must be for my Islah. Tilawat of Quran must be for my Islah. Majlis I come must be for my Islah. My zikr I make must be for my Islah, so that our Islah can be made and we can be correct ourselves. Never think that my Islah is made. Never think that I am a Muslim. I must correct other people. Correct other people. But also with the niyat that I must be right. When I'm telling somebody else that your mouth is smelling, I must make sure my mouth is not smelling. So I must come right, and then I must tell others. May Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness, inshallah.